Let us pray. Open our ears, O God, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills, that we may serve you today, now, and always. Amen. Rachel Held Evans, our muse for this sermon series, in her book Searching for Sunday, tells the story of Claire. Claire and her husband were members of a church that they loved. In fact, her husband had recently gotten a job on the church staff. They were involved in a Sunday school. They did mission work. They had friends, and everything seemed to be going well. They were even expecting their first child. 2 months before the baby was due, their house flooded, and they had to move out. 1 week before the baby was due, their car, while parked in a parking lot, was hit. No one was hurt, but the car was totaled. And then one day, before the due date of their baby, the baby stopped moving. The church rallied around Claire and her husband in the short term, offering comfort and food and help with funeral expenses, and surrounding them with care for a little while. But within a couple of weeks, as these young people walked through their grief and their loss, they found themselves alone. The meals stopped, the hugs disappeared, and everyone else seemed to move on. You see, the church did not know how to be with them in the long haul. Because it's hard. Because we don't know what to say week after week after week. Because grief makes us really uncomfortable. We quickly run out of comforting words and kind gestures because the daily concerns of our own life once again take hold. Unfortunately, I've heard stories like Claire's before. People who, after a traumatic, terrible time, end up leaving the church because the church wasn't able to stay with them. Maybe you've heard a story like that too. Or maybe that is your story. You see, as a church, we're often focused on finding a cure. Particularly as a progressive church, we want to cure what ails the world. We want to end racism and discrimination, inequality and exploitation. We want to solve hunger, eradicate homelessness, and end bigotry and vanquish disease. We seek cures. We want to have the magic words that will take away the pain, end the suffering, and make the loss go away. We want to fix it. And we want for it to be fixed because we don't want to find new words to say in the hope of fixing it. Our repertoire of curing words is thin. And we find it hard to know how to walk with someone for whom there is no way to fix it. There's no cure. What we need to understand and what we've come to understand as a church is there's a difference between curing and healing. Curing means removing the symptoms and making the problem go away. Healing means, as Rachel says, we are called to enter into one another's pain, anoint it as holy, and stick around no matter what the outcome. To anoint the pain as holy. To anoint literally means to smear or rub something on something, usually oil. To smear or rub with something, usually oil. And it's been a part of our Christian practice forever. Remember the 23rd Psalm? the one about the good shepherd. We believe that King David wrote that psalm, but we know that before he was king, he was a shepherd. And he writes, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Shepherds, when their sheep are coming back in to the paddock after grazing in the pastures during the day, the shepherd stands at the gate and has oil and anoints the head of the sheep as they come in through the gate in order to help heal any wounds or scratches or grazes that they may have gotten during the day. They anoint the heads of the sheep with oil. In our scripture reading, we find the Good Samaritan finding a man by the side of the road. And it's almost, we almost skip over, we talk about the priest and the Levite and all of that, but we skip over that one little line. He anointed the wounds with oil and wine. He offered healing by taking the man to the safe place. He didn't just leave him on the side of the road after anointing him. He took the next step, and he put him on his donkey, and he took him to the inn, and he lifted him off the donkey, and he carried him into a room, and he helped him heal. When we talk about anointing, we understand that anointing is more than just a platitude. It's a prayer. It's a connection between two people, and it's a connection between the people and God. When we anoint here at University Church, and we do so every communion Sunday, we place oil on your forehead and we offer a brief prayer. Some of you have experienced this, and we know, we understand, and you understand as a congregation, we cannot cure you, whether from physical illness or emotional heartache, but we can be there for you. We can be present in that moment, standing with you and with God, touching your forehead and praying. The Metropolitan Community Church is a small denomination here in the United States, and it was started in the late 1960s, primarily to be a place of worship for the LGBTQ community, a place where they can feel fully included and a part of the life of the community. They combine fairly high worship with progressive values. They serve communion every week, and they do so by dipping a wafer in the chalice, and then the pastor will place the wafer in the mouth of the congregant. Many of you recall that the 1980s were terrifying for the LGBTQ community. AIDS was devastating. People were getting sick and dying at alarming rates. Facts were of a premium, letting hysteria reign. And the country went crazy with concern over the spread of the disease from the gay community to the non-gay community. People were concerned about water fountains, about public restrooms, and about whether or not you can catch the disease simply by sitting next to somebody on the bus. You can't. But churches weren't immune to that hysteria. Some churches talked about having segregated bathrooms, and the practice of passing of the peace was stopped in some churches. And people, especially single men, were scrutinized carefully, with people watching them, trying to discern their sexuality and thus their willingness to interact with them. For people who were diagnosed with AIDS, it was even worse. Healthcare providers didn't want to treat them. Insurance companies didn't want to cover them. Families deserted them. And worst of all, no one wanted to touch them. The MCC Church made a radical decision to be different. They decided that in all of their churches, every Sunday, during communion, The pastor would offer the bread and wine as on the wafer, and then take both hands, place them on the shoulders of the person in front of them, and pray for them. Everyone, no matter who they were, would be touched. They still do this today. And even though they do not use oil, it's a way of being more present with someone, whatever they may be experiencing. And for me, that is anointing. This is what we are called to do. Brené Brown puts it like this: I went to church thinking it would be like an epidural, that it would take the pain away. But church isn't like an epidural. It's like a midwife. I thought faith would say, I'll take away your pain. But what it ended up saying was, I'll sit with you in it. Unlike curing, healing is a journey. And when we allow ourselves to be anointed, we are opening ourselves to being touched, to having someone recognize our pain, to take a step with us on our journey. Even when there is no cure, there's healing. It's easy to run out of words when someone we know and love is hurting, but we never run out of touch. Today, when you come forward to receive communion, there will be a pastor at each station with oil. If you wish, you can be anointed. Maybe you are thinking, I'm not sick. Life is pretty good right now. That isn't meant for me. We're here for anyone who wants a prayer. Maybe you'd like to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for all that God has given to you. Maybe there's something in your life that you want us to pray for specifically. This is not a cure. There are, as far as we know, there are no snakes present in the room. This is not a tent revival. We're not making any promises other than God is with you. We are with you. We as a congregation sit with one another. We pray for one another, and we offer healing.